want to thank you all for coming. This is the first of what I think is a 10-part series on tefillah, and this really is an introduction to tefillah. It's somewhat ironic that here I'm standing in shul with all of you sitting, and here we daven every day. And therefore, tefillah is something which is very familiar to us. So to have what's termed as an introduction to tefillah seems on some level superfluous. On some level, though, it's probably indispensable. Because we do it so frequently, and because tefillah is something which, in fact, defines our lives, literally, in the sense that it defines the days of our lives. Our days, the days of a Jew, are marked by tefillah. The sun rises in the morning, we daven, it crosses the horizon, we daven again, it sets, we daven a third time. So much of our life is consumed by tefillah, and as we know, it's consumed by tefillos that for the most part are repetitive. Tefillos that we recite over and over again that are articulating the same things. So it's important to know what we're doing. There are many areas, numerous potential avenues of study when it comes to tefillah. I'll just touch on briefly this personal tefillos versus universal ones. Is Jewish versus non-Jewish tefillos, in the sense that tefillah is a universal concept. One need not be a Jew to pray, as we know. Private versus communal tefillos. Tefillah versus karbonos, in terms of service of God. Is fixed tefillah versus spontaneous tefillah, both of which exist in Jewish life. The question really is, as an introduction, what is tefillah? And more importantly, why do we daven? What do we accomplish when we're davening? What are we looking for? What are we expecting? Why are we davening? It's not as simple a question as it sounds, because the very word prayer is for us a misnomer. The English word prayer means to ask for something, to request something. And that is the common understanding of tefillah. But in fact, as we know, because we daven every day, that's a very small part of tefillah. So praying, in the sense as the world understands it, is very, very limited. It's only one dimension of tefillah. We call tefillah in Yiddish davening. So that word has an interesting etymology in its own right. There are many different interpretations. The one which always resonated with me is that it's a contraction or a distortion somewhat of the Aramaic word davuhom, as we say in Kaddish, kodam avuhom divishmaya, avuhom, davuhom, from our fathers. And in fact, it echoes tfilos keneged avos tiknum. Chazal say that tfilos were ordained paralleling what our fathers did. It means that when a Jew davens, he or she attaches himself to what the greats of our history, the ancients, our fathers and mothers did, especially Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Tfilos keneged avos tiknu means that we have a historical precedent for tefillah, the Rav said. So tefillah is not just a spontaneous utterance on the part of a Jew, or the natural inclination of a Jew towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather it takes place within historical context. It's something that our fathers did, davuhon, and therefore we're davuhoning all the time. Or as it came to be known in the Yiddish, davening. Davening in Yiddish also has the expression of sighing or groaning, which is also one aspect of tefillah. What do we daven from? The siddur. So of course, siddur, as we know from Pesach night to Seder, it means something which is ordered. Because tefillos have structure. They have themes. They have ideas. It's not random or haphazard, and therefore we've gone to great lengths to preserve the siddur over time. Many, not most of the tefillos are of ancient origin. The first siddur that we know of, the siddur of Amram Gon, which is still extant, that dates from the 9th century, and was in fact a response by Rav Amram Gon, who was the great leader of Babylonian Jewry, to the Jews of Barcelona, Spain, who wanted to know they should daven, what should they be davening? What's the order? Almost a century later, Sadri Gon published another siddur for local use, for the Jews in Arab lands. And then you had medieval times, similar editions of the Siddur, the Machzor Vitri from Rashi's Talmud. The Rambam appends to Hilchos Tefillah, an entire Seder Tefillah, daily, Shabbos, Yamim Tovim, etc. But most of our Tefillos are very, very old, and therefore we literally repeat the words of our fathers, and we deviate from that Siddur only with great reluctance. The Siddur as it exists is probably 25 centuries old, more or less. Or said in a better way, 95% of what we daven on a daily basis, or on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, has been in our possession for almost 25 centuries, which is a nice run that's still going and only getting stronger. There are literally thousands of sources that can be quoted on Tefillah, certainly for an introductory session. So I've chosen just a few at random in order to, you know, make the points that I want to make, which is, I guess, the way it should be. Look at number one first. It's the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. Om Rabbi Elozar, Gidola Tefillah Yosem Yimaisim Tovim. Tefillah is greater than good deeds, which is counterintuitive, because we would think what's more important is what a person does. Soko, Chesed, Maisim Tovim, etc. No. The Gemara says Tefillah is greater, in what sense? We'll see in a moment. There was no one greater in deeds than Moshe. Nevertheless, Moshe was only answered through his tefillos. Moshe kept praying to God that he should be allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. He prayed and prayed and prayed until God said to him, "Al Tosef Daber Elayol Badavar Hazeh, don't mention this anymore." And then the Torah continues, "Alei Rosh Hapisko." So he was not allowed to enter, but as a sort of compromise, God said, "I'll let you see Eretz Yisrael. You'll see what it's like." Why should that be? Why should tefillah be greater than Ma'isim Togum? So the answer is that Ma'isim Togum can have an ulterior motive. The person is benefiting someone else. The person feels good doing it. Ma'isim Togum can come from an innate sense of goodness that a person has. I want to help other people. I'm a bestower of kindness. Tefillah, though, is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. Tefillah, we don't get the sense of benefiting another person. Because tefillah, God gets no benefit from it. There is no beneficiary but for tefillah, but ourselves, properly done. So therefore, tefillah is a greater expression of a person's attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than even Ma'isim Tovim, even more than something else. Amar Rabbi Elazar, he continued, Gedola tefillah yosem and akarbonos. Tefillah is greater than the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Greater. Shenemar, Lomali Rov Zuchaychem, God says in Aftar Chazon Yeshayo, what do I need the abundance of karbanos you bring to me? What do I need it for? But before Eschem Kapechem, you spread your hands out in prayer, that's something. So it's interesting, here we daven again and again, Ritzeh, Oshay Avodal, Vir Beisecha, we pray for the restoration of the sacrificial order of the Avodas HaKarbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and we need it because that it does add a unique dimension to Jewish life. And yet, Tefillah is greater than our Karbanos. What we can do now is much greater on some level than what we could do if the Beis HaMikdash existed. Very puzzling. Again, counterintuitive. Why should that be? So the answer is that Karbanos require a lesser investment of human energy than tefillah does. Tefillah requires more of the person. Karbanos, you buy a karbon and offer it, you put your hands on it, and the kohen does the work. What your intentions are, the actual performance, the engagement of the individual, could be much more limited than tefillah. Tefillah requires a person to do something. You have to speak the words. Of course, you have to think about what you're saying. So the investment of the individual is greater in tefillah than it is in karbanos. And consequently, the attachment, again, that a person feels to God in tefillah is going to be greater than that which he feels in karbanos. So gedola tefillah yosem in karbanos. Further, tarabanon, the Gemara continues, number two. Arba tzrichim chizuk. Five things require reinforcement. Torah, Ma'isim Tovim, of course. Tefillah, requires constant chizuk as well. Shenemar kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yametz libecho, v'kaveh el Hashem. Place your confidence in God. Chazak, strengthen yourself. V'yametz libecho, He'll give you great courage. V'kaveh el Hashem, place your confidence in God again. So the question is, this pasuk we said 104 times in the last eight weeks, since Rosh Chodesh El through Shmi Yetzeres. Why the repetition? Kaveh el Hashem, Chazak v'yametz libecho, v'kaveh el Hashem. Why is the first and last phrase repeated? So the pshat is, the Gemara says, that's what chizuk is. If a person's misfalel, and he's not successful, or you misfalel for something and the tefillah is not answered, chazak, sakaveh el Hashem. When we pray, we place our confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are shomei tefillah. But then, chazak, we need to be strengthened in that, v'yametz libecho, to grow in courage. If what we want is not granted to us, but it should not diminish our confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'kaveh el Hashem. Again, place confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says there, it's number 3, kaveh v'hischazeg, v'lo tumshoch yotcha, don't refrain, don't become frustrated in tefillah, el hachazor v'kaveh, you have to go again, place your hopes again. Tzrichim chizuk she'yischazeg odom b'em tomit b'chol kocho. A person has to strengthen himself constantly with all his strength, because tefillah requires effort. The problem is, it's a problem that affects almost all of us here. I won't say all of us, because I'm sure there's one person who was more righteous than the rest of us. The problem is because we do it so often, and we're saying the same thing, so we need b'chizuk. Sometimes it becomes routine. It becomes habit. We need to find the method that it should not become routine. And that's what it means, strichin chizuk. And that really is the overriding purpose of the series. How do we create, how do we fashion for ourselves a davening which does not become routine? Habit, the mere verbalization of words. At the very heart of tefillah, of course, is amida l'fnei Hashem. Standing before God, that's at the heart of tefillah. So much so that kavanah itself is an awareness that we're standing before God. Kavanah is not just perish amilim. Perish amilim, understanding what we're saying, of course, is important. But when we speak of knowing we're standing before the Melech Malchai Melachim, so the Rav Zatzal quoted his grandfather of Chaim, that if a person doesn't have an awareness of standing before God in tefillah, there's not even a ma'isa tefillah. That is a frightening statement. Because, I mean, it happens, I'm sure, to all of us. Our minds just wander. It's the frailty of the human condition. It's our weakness. We could be standing the holiest parts of the davening or the more mundane parts. But if you're standing Shemoneh Esrei, and I'm sure it's happened to almost everyone here, again, one person must be different, that our mind just wanders to what we just did or what we're going to do, to something happening out there in the world. And all of a sudden we realize, if we realize before Aleinu, that we've lost the sense of Amida Lifnei Hashem, and our Maisa Tefillah has been rendered no Maisa Tefillah, we're not really standing before God anymore, because we're unaware of God. If that happens, so then we've lost the essential dimension of Tefillah. It's arguable even whether we're Yotzei Tefillah, if we just say words without being aware that we're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think the primary issues that we have to look at in tefillah, that people always ask, and we should think about, because it is unique to our tefillah, is several things. Why are the tefillahs, for the most part, fixed texts? And why are the times of tefillah fixed for us as well? It's as if there's nothing left to the free flow of emotions, the spontaneous tefillah. How is it possible to say the same thing again and again and again? That's Erev, Avokah, V'Tzaraim, 3 times a day, so 3 agains. And the next day do the same thing. So Shabbos is a little different. Yom Tov is a little different. So different, Yom Tov, for example, we use a sitter, we call it a machazor, literally a cycle, because we're chozer, those we're going. Well, those Yamim Tovim, three times, well, once a year, each once. It's a matzah. But the Siddur is literally that. It's a Seder. Every day to say the same thing. So how is it possible to say the same thing and not find it routine? We'll address. I think, I mean, you probably agree with me, a large part of the decorum problem that exists in shuls generally is twofold. The lack of awareness of Amidah Lifnei Hashem, on the one hand, and the habit which arises from saying the same words again and again, on the other hand. And those two things contribute to a negligence, almost a slothfulness in our tfilos. How is it possible to maintain the focus, maintain kavana, when we're saying the same thing? How is it possible to retain an appreciation of tfilos when we're saying the same thing again and again? We must at the outset disabuse ourselves of one idea. God does not need our tfilos. That is an axiom of Torah. God has no use for our tfilos, doesn't need our tfilos, is unchanged by our positive tfilos or by our false tfilos, and is unchanged if we don't daven at all. So it's not for God. It's that we benefit from the tfilos. The question is, how do we benefit from the tfilos and why? The Gemara says, in Brachos Davava Mebeis, it's number 4. Omer la'umer rabbanel Rav Bibi Barabaye, some say Rav Bibi says Rav Nachman. My, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Kirum zulus lufnei adam. So the pasuk is saying something else. That when the wicked prosper, when the basest are elevated, kirum zulus lufnei adam. When the zulus, those who are zol, those who are cheap and degraded, when they are elevated lufnei adam, over the human beings, the world is in terrible straits. But the Gemara darshans the pasuk differently. Amar le, elu kurum zulus, elu dvarim she'omdim berumo shel olam, uvnei adam mizalzlim bahem. There's certain things that stand, that rise to the heights of the universe. The most important things in the universe, and people trivialize them. People demean them. For example, Rashi says in 5, kigon tfilo. Tefillah is something which ascends on high, has the greatest power, more power than anything else a human being can do on this planet while we're alive. And yet people are mizalzel ba. Kirum zulus lufnei adam. It doesn't seem that important because we do it so often and we do it repetitively. The altar of Kelm, whom I'll refer to a number of times, or Simcha Zissel of Kelm, said the purpose of tefillah, citing this Gemara, is l'romemes ha'adam u'laha'aloso l'rumo shel olam, to exalt a person, l'romem, to exalt him and to lift him to the heights of the world. And that's something we should reflect on. Halavai, we should reflect on in every tefillah. It may be enough to reflect on if we walk into shul, maybe once a year if we walk into shul. But here, lowly human beings, me and you, we're given the opportunity to stand before the King of Kings and address Him. Even to ask for things, but to address Him and to know that He is a Shomea Tfilo. Tfilo exalts. Tfilo elevates. The question is how? How does it exalt? How does it elevate? How does it speak to us? So the Alter said that the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah compiled all the lofty ideas that a person needs to articulate in life and put them in an order that we should repeat them every day. Gemara says, look at number 9. Gemara says in Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel and Aleph, Rav Shaman Barava said to Rav Yochanan, Michli Anshe Knesset Hagadola, Tiknulam Li Yisrael, Brachos, Tfilos, Kedushos, Avdolos. It was the Anshe Knesset Hagadola, the men of the great assembly, who compiled our tfilos, drafted them, and put them in the form that they're in today. By and large, our tfilos consist of, well, if you look at the flyer for the series, that's what they did. Birchas HaShachar, Sukkot Zimra, the Brachos of Kriyashma, Shmone Esrei. This is, again, 25 centuries ago. They formulated the Brachos, every Bracha we say. They took the various parts of Tanakh, mainly Tehillim, that we recite in Sukkot Zimra, and they put it all together in a package for us called the Siddur, and Jews were told to say this every day. Anshe Knesset Hagdolah did it at a time when the Jewish people were returning to Eretz Yisrael, came. It was established by Ezra with the authority of the king of Babel, king of Persia rather, in order to allow the Jews some legislative / judicial body. It became, of course, the great yeshiva. Jewish life exists today in the form that it does, by and large, because of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, these 120 people who lasted, all told, perhaps a century. Shimon HaTzadik Hayom Mishiyorei Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. He was from the remnants of the original 120 who were appointed, and they categorized prayer in a different way than it existed before. So before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, we always had a concept of tefillah, but tefillah was personal. Tefillah was subjective. Tefillah was spontaneous. Think Chana. Think Avram. Prayed for Avimelech. Think Moshe Rabbeinu. Kael no refa no lo. I'm sure it's important. Think Shlomo in the Haftorah from Shmini Atzeres. It's a long tefillah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With Jews scattered in Bavel, Eretz Yisrael, Egypt, etc., the ideas and the times of tefillah needed to be formalized. So we should never hesitate to dwell on one issue. It's amazing that the tefillos are 2,500 years old and they're still going strong, because the tefillos articulate timeless ideas that we need in order to survive, in order to be thinking beings. During the series, we will be exploring, trying to uncover as many of those ideas and essential themes as we can. But we get back to the question, how, if the purpose of tefillah, the Alpha said, is romemus adam, to uplift us, so how does tefillah uplift? How does it exalt, rather than depress or leave us monotonized, leave us routinized, bored? How does it? So the Alter of Kelm said very beautifully that the most important facet of tefillah is to find the ta'am ha-tefillah. Ta'am here really means the flavor of tefillah. It's a beautiful analogy. And he elaborated. He said that the flavor of tefillah is no different than the flavor of food. If a person eats the same food every day with the exact same taste, very quickly it becomes bland. So bland, he said, if food had no taste, we would stop eating and we'd all die of hunger. And he's an example. Medicine which is bitter, pills are bitter, very often the patients don't take it as much as they know how important it is for them. They'll ignore doctor's orders. All right, the doctors are here. What's the percentage of patients who ignore their doctor's advice and don't take the medication? I'm sure it's high. All right? Why? Because the medicine lacks a ta'am. And if food lacks a ta'am, people won't eat it. There's a flavor in tefillah as well. And a person has to try to extract that flavor. How do we do it? It's the same food! So how do we do it? You have to find new taste. So you serve the same dish, right? How many different ways are there of serving chicken? I'm learning to my chagrin. I know dozens of ways. It's one chicken. But there are many ways to serve the chicken. You add this ingredient, that ingredient. In terms of tefillah, the ideas, tefillah has to be studied. But it is Torah. So the ideas that can be extracted from the tefillah are also infinite. So the Alta said, everybody is obligated to look at tefillah and draw out those ideas that have flavor, new ideas, different ideas, a little spice. Look at a word, look at a phrase, look at a tefillah a different way. Take one part of the tefillah and think about it. Oh, you can't do this with the whole tefillah every day. Gemara says, halavai person mispal kol hayom. So we don't have the luxury of davening every day. But imagine if every day, every tefillah, we spent an extra, I'm not even talking minutes, let's say an extra 10 seconds on one bracha Shemon Esra. An extra 10 seconds to look, try to understand the words, look at a perush, try to understand the ideas, try to draw out, try to squeeze a little flavor out of the words. If we did that, our tefillos already would be different. Galta said you can't just translate the words. It's not a question of perish hamilu, understand, at one level, of course, but it's not enough. If all we know is the perish hamilu, no matter how good the translation is, it'll also lack tam over time. You have to probe the ideas. Why was this word used? Why not another word? Why, to take an example at random, in the bracha of Olam Alshinim, the Birchas Haminim, why those five curses of the Minim? And why so many curses? Why isn't enough Simager? Why do you need so many? Each one represents a different idea. What are the ideas? Think about one bracha, one tefillah a day. And we'll understand the themes. We'll get some of the flavor. It'll taste a little better to us. Maybe it'll even taste new to us. There are basically two types of tefillos. And for that, I want to understand this interesting chazal we're familiar with from the Torah. In the middle of Vayechi, it's number 6, when Yaakov is blessing Yosef before he blesses all his sons. He just finished blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. He says to Yosef, I've given you one extra portion, whatever it is in context. The simple pshat is it means he gave him the city of Shechem. Asher lokachti miyad ha'emori v'charbi u'v'kashti. That I took from the Emori with my sword and with my bow and arrow. So the Unkulus translates v'charbi u'v'kashti v'tzilusi u'v'va'usi. With my prayer, my tefillah, and my bakashos. And that's how the Gemara in Baba Basra, number 8, understood it. On Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Charbi zot tefillah. My sword is my tefillah. My keshes is my bakosho, my requests, my supplications. What's the difference between the sword and the arrow, the cherev and the keshes? So the Griz, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, Zecha Tzadik Livracha, the Briska Rav, Rav Velvel explained as follows. There's a big difference between the cherev and the keshes. A cherev, a sword, is a weapon which is sharp, which causes harm without much skill or effort or strength on the part of the sword wielder. The keshes, though, the bow and arrow, cannot harm a person inherently. To use the keshes as a weapon depends on the skill of the archer. He has to be able to aim and pull and shoot, fire, and it has to hit its target. A sword doesn't really require that much aim. If the person is near you, that person can be pierced by the sword. A bow and arrow requires effort. So the Griz said, that's the pshat. V'charbi u'v'kashti v'tzalusei u'v'va'usi. The cherev, the sword, those are the set tefillos of the Anshei Knesset Agdolah. Those are the tefillos that we recite. Their words contain everything we need to know. Even a hedyo, the simple person, unskilled in tefillah. Those tefillos are very powerful because mere recitation of those tefillos, soluse, those tefillos are inherently gifted because we say these particular ideas. These ideas have value to the human being. So it doesn't even require much on our part. You have to say the words. Probably the most far-reaching extent of this idea is what the Bir Halacha brings down. That if a person does not understand Hebrew, but can read Hebrew, even though a person can daven in any language, if a person reads the Hebrew without understanding, reads the words of Anshei Knesset Agdolah, that tefillah is on a higher level than a tefillah said in a foreign tongue. Strange, because what is he saying really? So the tefillah links him, of course, to the tzibur, which is davening in Lashon HaKodesh. But nonetheless, that's what the Griz is saying. Just to say the words of the Anshei Knesset Agdolah, that's a sword, that's a cherev, that's a very powerful weapon in the arsenal of a Jew. A keshes, that's va'usei. That depends on the skill of the archer. A keshes, the tefillah of keshes, is a bakosho. That's a private prayer. That depends on the koach hagavro, the power of the individual. That's ba'usei. The Kutzker Rebbe said, because elsewhere, Rashi compares tefillah to keshmas generally, and he said, yeah, just like the, if you pull back on the bow, the further you pull back, the farther the arrow will travel, so too that's tefillah. The greater the kavana you have in the tefillah, the greater the tefillah sends, the more powerful the tefillah is. That's the metaphor of the keshes, the cherev and the keshes. There are really two types of tefillahs. There's a tefillah and there's a bakasha. We say this in the davening as well, kadishalay. Tiskabal, soloson, uva'uson, the chol Yisrael. God should accept our tefillos. Our tefillos are those prayers we recite given to us by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but our bakashas as well. And here we come to something I want everyone to ponder. I didn't see it anywhere, but to me it makes sense. It's not just that they're two separate tefillos. Every tefillah partakes of both dimensions. Every tefillah has to be a sword and an arrow as well. Every tefillah has to reflect the koach ha-tefillah as well as the koach ha-mispal. It has to be both the sword and the arrow. Every tefillah. That means to say, we all recite the same words in davening. That's true. That's the koach ha-tefillah. But the way we recite them, the flavor we extract from them, the ideas that we understand in the tefillah, the depth of the concentration as we recite it, that is going to vary from person to person. That will be based on the skill of the archer. So every tefillah is a sword, because the words are given to us. But every tefillah is also a bow and arrow as well, and it's going to depend on us, how we say them, what we're saying, how we understand them. This notion of the cherev and the keshes, the tefillah versus the bakasha, might help us understand the machlokas, the famous machlokas of the Rambam and the Ramban, without which it will be unfair to give an introduction to tefillah. If you look at number 10, the Rambam says this first in the Sefer Mitzvos, and Mitzvos say, hey, 5, but I quoted it from Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph. Mitzvos asay l'spal b'chol yom. So Mitzvos asay, a positive commandment from the Torah, to daven every day. Shenemar v'avadatem es Hashem Elokechem. You should serve your God. Mipi ha-shmu olomdu. She'avoda zo hi tefillah. This avoda, this service, is davening. She'nemar ul'avdo b'chol levavchem, amru chachamim eizoi avoda she'belev, zo tefillah. The service of the heart is tefillah. We'll discuss why in a moment, but the Rambam maintains, really unique, I mean, others agree with him, but unique in the Rishonim, and on the surface, the Rav pointed out, contradicting an explicit Gemara, which teaches that tefillah is the Rabbanon, the Rambam says tefillah is a positive commandment min haTorah. What is the Rabbanon? The Rambam continues. A min haTefillos min haTorah. The numbers of tefillos are not from the Torah. A mishnah tefillah zos min haTorah. The text of the tefillah is not min haTorah. That's the Rabbanon. Ein letefillos man kavua min haTorah. There's no set time for prayer min haTorah. So the Rabbanon came along to it, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and told us how often to daven, what to say, and when to say it. That's the Rabbanon. But the essential experience of prayer, tefillah, is not the Rabbanon. That the Rambam says can't be. That is a mitzvah saseh min haTorah. The Rav in his essay on tefillah wrote that the Rambam really redeemed tefillah for us. Restored to tefillah the crown of old that the ancients, that the Nevi'im had bestowed upon it. Because again, until the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, tefillah was random, spontaneous, like all the ones I mentioned from Tanakh. And then that's the way it was. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said you have to pray 2 times a day. But the simple understanding was it was the Rabbanah, not a Doraisa. The Rabbanah you have to pray 2 times a day. The Rambam said, no, there's a basic obligation on every Jew to be mispala at least once a day, period. And that's every Jew, man and women. Halacha beis, lefichach, noshim v'avodim chayav b'tzvilu. Even women have to daven. Lefishi mitzvah say shalazman grom. It's not a time-bound mitzvah. The time-bound aspect of tefillah is the Rabbanon. So the women are obligated in tefillah at certain times. what, to daven once a day, one tefillah, in the common understanding, it's to daven one Shemoneh Esrei a day. That would be Mitzaseh Min HaTorah. There are some, historically, there were centuries where women were not as educated as men, not as literate, and so the Minhag Yisrael came down that women should articulate one tefillah per day, whatever prayer they wanted to say. I always joke that if the men leave the house in the morning with the kids, and the women say, thank God, they're gone, so that fulfills the Mitzaseh Min HaTorah of tefillah, according to the Rambam. But we like to look at it as a more spiritual moment. But to say one tefillah per day, that's an obligation that devolves upon every Jew. Chi of mitzvah zot kachu. Sheyodom mischanim mispal b'chol yom umagid shvachos shakadosh baruch hu. Person pleads and davens every day, relates the praise of God, and then he asks his needs. According to the Rambam, tefillah is a positive commandment on Torah. Not so the Ramban in 11, in the Hasagos, Ramban's critique of the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos Mitzvahei, he disagrees. So you see from the Gemara seems to imply that tefillah is the Rabbanon. And where the Rambam says, the Chovas Min HaTorah, you see the arrow, Gam Zeh Inu Nochon Beinai, it's not true, and he has a number of proofs why it's not so. Second arrow, Elevadai Kol Inin HaTefillah Inu Chovah Klal, certainly the whole essence of tefillah is not obligatory. Elohim imidas chesed abaris barach aleinu sheshomeh ba'oneh b'chol kareinu elav. It's an act of kindness on God's behalf that he listens to our tefillahs and responds to it. V'ikar kasuv ulavdo b'chol avavchem mitzasei shetia kavadaseinu l'kel yisala b'chol avainu. What's the avodah shebelev? Sure, so if a person going to daven, a person wants to pray, he has to pray to God. That's what the Ramban says. But min HaTorah, there is no daily obligation of tefillah. What is the obligation of tefillah according to Ramban? It's the third arrow. The other Ramban quotes the pasuk in Baloscha, v'chisava melchama b'artzachem, war starts, troubles break out in the Jewish world, so you blow the chatzotzros as a sign of a call, clarion call to tefillah, v'nizkartem l'fnei Hashem elokeichem. You cause yourselves to be mentioned before God. The mitzvah al tzorah shetavu al tzibu l'zok l'fona b'tfilah v'trua. That, the Ramban says, is the positive commandment of tefillah. That is to say, when some tzorah, some persecution, some tribulation befalls the Jewish people, then it's a positive commandment of Torah to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, there's no mitzvah d'oraisa. It's just a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Maybe I want... Yes. Shema is not tefillah. Shema is kavos al malchus shemayim. But you have to wait for December, and then we'll discuss that. But Shema is inserted in the tefillah. We'll see, that is the fundamental concept of Jewish life. And therefore, we recite it on a daily basis, at least twice a day. But that's not tefillah. You see, we're not even asking for anything necessarily. We're just articulating a basic truth. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's a separate mitzvah min HaTorah to mention that twice a day. I want to suggest the following, that according to the Ramban, tefillah d'oraisa is only a keshes. It's only a bow. It's only bakasha. Especially bakasha-based tzara. That's how the Ramban understood tefillah. Tefillah is that bow and arrow. It depends on the koch on the spalel, d'oraisa. At certain times, a needy person turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A vulnerable human being turns to God for support, for assistance. That's the Ramban's tefillah. According to the Rambam, though, the Rambam says that man has a general need of tefillah. He has a general obligation to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and immerse himself in ideas, in God's presence. The Rambam understands tefillah is primarily the cherev, the sword. We wield the sword, we engage these ideas of life, of reality, that we have to reiterate on a daily basis, and it's within these ideas that we relate to God. The Rambam says that man has a daily need to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that need has to be expressed in tefillah. The Rav Zatzal explained tefillah in this language. Mai tfilo, hi hitbatut ha-nefesh ha-mitgagat ha-lokim b'emtzei ha-miluli. It's the soul's expression of a yearning for God through the means of words. Shal yadom ha-biya ha-adom et kol sarat nafsho v'rucho. That through it, man expresses the storm, the turmoil in his spirit and his soul. That really is avodah shebelev. Avodah shebelev is an inner process. I quoted at the bottom in number 12 the Mechilta, which is one of the original sources. A zohi avodah shebelev hevi omer zutfilo. Note the expression, because that is really a test of tefillah. A zohi avodah shebelev hevi omer zutfilo. What is service of the heart? Lev probably means mind here as well, or maybe. Primarily it means service of the mind. But what is tefillah? We perceive tefillah as avodah shebepeh, as service of the mouth. Because most of what we do is we say words. But in fact, tefillah is not avodah shebepeh. Tefillah is avodah shebelev. We have to articulate, we have to enunciate words. Because that's the way human beings communicate. But the peh, the mouth, the words that we use are just tools. They're just instruments. It's the means of tefillah. It's not tefillah itself, and it's certainly not the essence of tefillah. And that is a very difficult lesson for us to learn. Because we're accustomed to, from our earliest youth, how do we daven? We're told what to say. And, you know, young kids in yeshiva are daven, and they're graded on it, and they're just told by Rebbe, say this, say this. So tefillah becomes transformed. Not transformed. Tefillah becomes established milechatchila as avodah shebepeh, as something you say. Keep the mouth moving in tefillah. Right? I remember even when I was in yeshiva, the last thing they wanted, now lots of reasons for it also, but it was more for the teacher's purposes. Keep your mouth moving. Don't glance at the words. Keep your mouth moving. If you keep your mouth moving too much in an a milieu in which what you're mouthing is not understandable, then tefillah does develop as avodah shebepeh and not avodah shebelev. Avodah shebelev requires work to think about it, to make sure that the words are attached to ideas. Tefillah, of course, should never forget this, is a privilege. The Rav spoke about this at length. It's not so obvious. It's not obvious that we should be able to stand before the Melech Malchem Lochem. It's not so obvious that we should have an audience on a daily basis, several times a day, with the King of Kings. Try getting an audience with a human being who's a king, or a human being who's a president. Try getting an audience. Requires weeks. If at that you'll be granted an audience, so that we're granted an audience with the Melech Malchem Lochem is not something to be trivialized or overlooked. It's a privilege. That's the zchus of tefillah. So why then are there fixed texts? Turn the page. I'm sorry. Tricked you. Look at the bottom of the first page, number 13. Rav Dessler makes an interesting point also, which speaks to the privilege aspect of tefillah. Ha-mitzvahs nitnu l'chol yisrael l'chol madrigoseyem. Mitzvahs are given to Jews of every level. We don't have mitzvahs for the righteous and different mitzvahs for the mediocre. Ula olam ein omrim chakeya chetagil madrega plonis was tekay mitzvah zo. We don't usually say, wait until you reach a certain level, then you'll do that mitzvah. Maybe we say it's filling of Rabbeinu Tam. But we don't say to a person, you're not on a level to observe Shabbos. Not on a level to observe kashrus. Wait, learn a little more. No, mitzvahs are the heritage. Marash HaKilas Yaakov, it belongs to everybody. This is talking about the externals of the mitzvah. Everybody does the same thing, whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu or a small child. But the substance of the mitzvah, the inner workings of the mitzvah, that is only accessible to someone on a high level. The Yeshla Mitzvah Shi'af Sharla Sigis Pinimi Yuson Elav Madriga Vohameon. There are some mitzvahs that can only be attained, whose essence can only be appreciated when one is on a very high level. Achas mehen ya tefila. Beautiful concept, Rav Dessler said. One of those mitzvahs whose essence we don't appreciate is tefila. We think it's simple, because in fact, a child says Adon Olam and we say Adon Olam. It's all true, but then we've missed something fundamental in tefila. Turn the page and look at number 14. I won't read the whole thing inside, but Rav Dessler, in the fourth chelek of Michtam Eliyahu, quotes the pasuk in Mishlei that the Gemara darshans in Shabbos. Meser ozno mishmoa Torah, gam tfiloso toeva. A person who turns his ear from learning Torah, his tefillah is also an abomination. That's what Gemara says, Ulevai person mispal kol hayom. That's the base of the halacha of Torah sohimun umunoso. That a person who's always learning Torah sohimun umunoso, he's really exempt from tefillah. And amazing, the Gemara says elsewhere that Rabbi Yehuda davened once a month. He daven every 30 days, so it's not interfere with his learning. We don't have such a concept, but nevertheless, how could it be? Daven once every 30 days? Meser ozno mishmoa Torah, gam tfiloso toeva. I always think this pasuk, agavurcha, when I'm running a few minutes late, Shabbos afternoon, Shemintah Ma'ariv, and people have to daven Ma'ariv. Meser ozno mishmoa Torah, gam tfiloso toeva. We should probably have that over the Ara Kodesh, or at least over the Shtender, so I don't receive the arrows. So Dessler asked, in tefillah hirakshu mivakshu me'ashem asherotu. Tefillah is, we just ask from God what we want, so it's hard to understand the pasuk. What's the connection of Torah to tefillah? And if tefillah is something which is depends on a person's level, you have to understand the pnimius. So hayinu laseis b'tui l'shifa l'alos b'avodas Hashem, I'm sorry, but if tefillah is something which is dependent on attaining a certain level, hayinu laseis b'tui l'shifa l'alos b'avodas Hashem, that is, to give expression to our yearning, to ascend ever higher in service of God, and to ask God to preserve us from impediments, then we understand why neser ozna mishma Torah gam tefillaso toeva. Why? Because it's impossible for a person to appreciate tefillah without appreciating Talmud Torah. Can't be. And he quotes the Maharal in the Sivas Ola, in the Nesiv HaVodah. There the Maharal says that if a person does not yearn for Torah and mitzvos with his entire heart, so how can he ever daven for spiritual assistance? What is he davening for then? Needs, especially physical needs. If he's davening for physical needs, then you'll see in the second paragraph, the Maharal explained, that means that libo rachok mek Torah. Vaday tfiloso eina el al yinay haguf. He's only davening for what? For really small things in context. Health, parnoso, success. In context, it's small things compared to the life of the soul. If that's what a person is asking for, then that really is a toeva. Certainly in comparison to what Torah is. Look at the third paragraph. With this concept, we understand the basic point in davening. Many people confused, perplexed by this. Why does a person have to pray to God? If what you're asking for is needed or is good, so God is good, it's a kelatov, we'll give it to us without asking. If it's bad for us, so why should God give it to us just because we've gotten for it? So Manavshech, it seems superfluous. That which we need, God knows we need it. So if it's good for us, he should give it to us. If it's not good, what are we davening for? Rav Dessler said, the Maharal answers, tefillah is the process of completing what is deficient in a person. Tefillah is a recognition of our deficiencies, and it's a request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make up for those deficiencies. That is to say, I want to be a good servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to understand something about God in the world. Mishabeach Hashem. I want to be a good servant. I need knowledge. I need forgiveness. I need parnoso. I need health. I need kibbutz golios. I need serenity for Klal Yisrael. I need being in Yerushalayim. I need Melech HaMashiach. There are a whole number of things I need to make me a better servant. The question is my intent to be a better servant, or is my intent to be a better Baal Taiva? Those are two different things. If a person senses something's missing in his avodah, and he yearns for divine assistance, and that yearning is his tefillah, that's what God is going to grant him. Because that is the petach shel machat, the needle's opening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for in our hearts. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Rav Hirsch on Chumash. His original discourse on tefillah is in this week's Sedra, when it speaks about the confusion of languages. So there Rav Hirsch says that the word balal, the languages will mix, confuse. That word does not really mean balal. It means, as you see if you read, it's in English, by the way, I was reluctant to print it in the original German, so I used the English translation. Balal means to bring a fresh element into a mass, incorporating it in all parts of the mass, or forming a new material of the mass. The word tefillah, palal, is related to balal as well. What's tefillah? So palal means to judge. As we know, lehit palal means to judge oneself. Look at the italics. Hispalel means to take the element of God's truth, make it penetrate all phases and conditions of our being and our life, and thereby gain for ourselves the harmonious even tenor of our whole existence in God. What is tefillah, therefore? The repetition, the brachos, the shevach, the tikkun zimrah, the shmon esrei, it's a repetition of truths about God's world that He wants us to ponder, to contemplate on a daily basis. That's why they're fixed times. That's why they're fixed texts. Read on. Jewish tefillah is accordingly the most complete contrast to what's called prayer. It's not an outflowing from within. That's the keshes. What's the cherev? Tefillah, that's other things. Trina, siach, that's the keshes. Tefillah is a renewed intake and penetration of truth which comes from outside. Three times a day, that's the fee of the Rabbanim for men, once for women. We have to draw in, we have to imbibe, we have to absorb the true ideas from God's world and think about them. That is what spiritually sustains us. That is what nourishes us. That's why they're fixed times, and he says it very well. Tefillah, we're just asking for things. So when you want something, you ask. You need something, you ask for it. But if tefillah means that three times a day I am required to ponder certain truths, to take the sitter and read these words and reflect on the ideas because they contribute to my being as a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they remind me of my mission in the world, remind me of why I'm here, and now we know why the texts are the same. And now we know why the times are given. And now we know why tefillah is a chiyuv. And it's not just get that. Rav Hirsch writes in Choreh. Choreh is the book I give out to all the B'nai Mitzvah. I hope somebody opens it. It's a beautiful word. So Rav Hirsch writes that in life we forget. And we all do. So from Shachris to Mincha, we go to work. There's all tumult out there. Just getting across the bridge is a headache. Getting into Manhattan, answering the phone constantly. You forget the more important things in life. In the tumult of life, Rav Hirsch writes, thoughts of God as the master of our world, the master of my life, as an individual and as part of Klal Yisrael, that can be lost. Tefillah counteracts that. That's the selection in number 16 from Choreh. In tefillah, you remove such folly of the mind and erring of the emotions, and we allow ourselves to be infused by the thought there's only one God to whom all belongs and through whom all is. That's what Chazal say. Mincha is the Eis Ratzon. Mincha. Why Mincha? It's the middle of the day. So we're most busy. Most of us, some of us, literally have to take time off and find one of those mincha minyanim in Manhattan or some other workplace. Because it literally is a break in the day. We find a time in the middle of our workday. We could be earning money. Instead, we stop and we say, no, I have to check in with the truths of life and remind myself, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. In the last paragraph, these prayers are tehillos and tefillos. Tehillah, when it prays, when referring to the general contemplation of God in the world, humanity, Israel. Tefillah, we measure ourselves according to that standard. How much have I kept up? How much has my service of God as an Eved improved? That is tefillah. How do we enjoy tefillah? How do we enhance our tefillah? So the altar of Kelm said, it's best if we're mechadesh things. If we're mechadesh, it's best to be mechadesh on our own, and not to read someone else's chidushim. He writes very well. Because if we're mechadesh ourselves, we understand what bothered us, and we understand the resolution, instead of what someone else did. You have to keep the tefillos fresh. So if you look at the Siach Yitzhak in 17, it's not just translating the words. It's drawing out the themes and the ideas. And he says, when he was young, he asked Rabbi Naftali Herz, now based in of Yafo, how do I concentrate better in davening? Omar Ali said to me, find a perush, find the ideas, find some commentary on the siddur, that draws the heart, that attracts the soul. That's how tefillah is kept fresh. That, my friends, is our quest. Over the next 9 sessions, we'll try to extract the themes, the ideas of tefillah. We'll try to see the seder that exists in tefillah, and we'll try to perfect as best we can this process that we perform on a daily basis, called Avodah Shebelev, service of the mind, service of the heart. I thank you all for coming.